Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's nippy out there, man. It's nippy out there. Get yourself the O-Call and get yourself a fleece. Oh, my God. It is a vest. Get yourself a gorgeous vest. I'm throwing that in. That's not an endorsement, Jeffrey. It's protection against the cold. How you faring?
Not great. I'm despite having an indoor job, I've got multiple layers on.
Well, and then did you see we had a power outage of some significance?
Oh, I saw.
Did you have the power outage?
I experienced.
You had the power outage.
Indeed.
Well, tell me about it. What time did you lose power?
I want to say it was about 8:30. Eight-ish.
You have a baby in the house.
Correct. She was asleep, so that was huge. She was asleep, and then her little like noise machine, if it don't have power, it can still run on battery. So she slept right through all that.
When was it restored?
Great.
When was it restored? And do we know what caused it?
I do not. I think it's because it got cold.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's an unfortunate cause right there, because it got cold.
So we got.
I don't think that's what they're saying.
So power gets knocked out, and I mean, I'm talking like this is from Poplar Plaza. Look, dark.
It was a big
like every,
chunk,
like,
yeah.
It was a massive. I think it said over 18,000 accounts were without power. So initially, we lose power, and I can hear my wife have the shriek of, "Oh my God, I have no power." Then,
oh, I'm sorry.
About yeah, poor. No, I mean it's every time. So about I don't know after a couple of minutes, boom, back on.
Oh,
and you're like, sweet. Awesome.
God, it went off again.
30 seconds off again. I do know, it's probably, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes, because I walked around to see if there was like some like obvious issue that had caused it. Nothing like stood out walking around. And the power came right back on. Fortunately, the power went off as Jameis threw his first pick six, so it went off. I didn't have to watch that. But power came on right back as he was about to throw the touchdown player.
The touchdown pass.
The touchdown pass
into the end zone? Yeah,
correct.
That was nice. Sweet.
And stayed on throughout the night.
All right. Anyway, hope you're staying warm wherever you are. We got a busy show today because we got Chris Herron straight up at 10 o'clock. And we have Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It is Tuesday, and so we have our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman, will join us. So busy second hour. The first hour, it is just us. We do have breaking news, Jeffrey, from the NFL. Did you see this? Texans linebacker Azeez El-Shaair gets 3 games for the hit on Trevor Lawrence because it was repeated violations. He's a repeat offender. What do you feel about the 3-game suspension?
Seems about right. So he's going to appeal. Well, I've never understood. Who do you appeal to? Are you appealing to Goodell again?
Right.
Like, seems like that's going to hold up.
Yeah. So there you go. And that was a brutal hit. Now, it is interesting, of course. If Seed popped back up, would we feel differently about it? You know, how is it that?
Well, we got some Tua hands. When Trevor,
yes. Oh, no,
the,
no, no,
when
no,
Trevor
no,
hit
yes.
the ground,
yeah,
like,
no, no, it looked bad. Like it looked, it was, yeah. It looked.
I mean, I think you're probably right. Part of it is the reaction. I also think that it directly led to the melee.
Oh, 100% directly, yeah. and as well it should have. Like I in that situation, I'm
all for that, especially for a team that could have been lifeless and,
yeah,
and whatnot.
If someone hits your quarterback like that, you go after him 100%. It would have been pathetic had they not. Anyway. Yes, we did have breaking news today on the show. Once again, Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock and then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We do have games in the offing. The Grizzlies, will get a somewhat stiffer test tonight, against Dallas, Jeffrey. This is a Dallas team and there is, Luka's back. He returned for the win over Atlanta Sunday, I think it was, for the Mavs. He came back for that game. You have Clay is questionable. Derek Lively is questionable. Najee Marshall is out. But Luka back. Kyrie, they've had their own injury issues. Luka missed 5 games. He is back. And, well, 2 things, Jeffrey. One is it's a cup game. It's an NBA cup
indeed.
Game. And all that has to happen is the Grizzlies have to win by 24 tonight and then have a bunch of other teams lose, and they could advance.
I believe they can also advance if Golden State beats...
You want Oklahoma City, Portland, and Denver to all lose. But no, they also have to win by 24.
I thought you could advance from the group if
okay.
If Denver loses, that would put them at 1-3, and then you'd be tied with the Mavs if you went 2-2 and you get the head to head.
You may be right.
I believe that's
that
the
is
case.
Not what I have. That was not my information.
But there
but
is
anyway,
definitely some point differential.
It is a. And do you care?
Oh,
be better to advance than
yeah,
not. Better
yeah.
to advance than not. Do I care? No. And the list of things I particularly care about, no. But it is a big game for this reason too. Memphis is 14-7 and Dallas is 13-8.
Yep. Look
right there. Right? Dallas is 8-2 in their last 10. Dallas has won 4 in a row. Dallas actually without Luka, and normally when they're without Luka, they're like dead. Now without Luka, they went 4-1.
Overrated?
Without Luka. And you look at that team, I think that team is aces. I think you got Luka, you got Kyrie, you got Clay, you got Derek Lively, right? But then you have a whole bunch of Spencer Dinwiddie and Marshall and P.J. Washington and Quentin Grimes. And they had, for the first time in franchise history, they had 4 players score 20 or more points in back-to-back games. For the first time in back-to-back games. For the first time in franchise history. They are a formidable foe. So that is awaits the Grizzlies.
And let's be real. Luka's been a thorn in the side.
And Luka has been a big-ass thorn in the side. And so that's a problem. And then you got the Tigers back in action tomorrow night. The Memphis Tigers back in action tomorrow night. But what I wanted to talk about a little bit at the start of the show was what I wrote my column about today. And I'll be honest. Well, first, I don't write as many sports columns. But even as I contemplated writing a column, you know, we knew we were going to get the news yesterday that Memphis basketball was ranked, right?
We knew we just didn't know where.
And Memphis football snuck into the rankings as well. So Memphis football is 25. And sure enough,
we knew Memphis wouldn't fall in the coaches' poll. We didn't know if they'd be ranked in the AP.
Right. And so in the AP poll, Memphis basketball makes their season debut at 16. Seems fine to me. Did it seem fine to you?
I think it was 15 in the coaches, 16
in the AP. Yeah. I consider AP the gold standard here. So 25 in football, 16 in basketball. And so we talked about this yesterday, that everything isn't perfect in the world, if you want to tell me you're disappointed in the Memphis football season because they're not in the conference championship, I can hear you. Like, whatever. I'm not. If you want to tell me you're not completely convinced about the Memphis Tiger basketball team because look what happened last year or whatever, that's fine. But I did start thinking, well, maybe there's a column to be written there. Just sort of stopping to appreciate this moment. And I was going back and forth. And then I thought further about it. And I thought about, okay, where do the Grizzlies fit into this? Because Grizzlies are 14-7 themselves. They're rolling along themselves. And so I started looking up. We have absolutely had Memphis Tiger football and basketball ranked at the same time before. Indeed, like in 2019, it was most of the season. Right, like it's not. This is not. It is not wildly unusual. Not since Memphis football got good, honestly, for them both to be ranked simultaneously. Now, it hadn't happened in a few years. In 2020, Memphis football was ranked at the start of the year, but they had lost and fallen out of the rankings for good by the time Memphis basketball got cranked up. So they were not simultaneously ranked. They both were, in fact, ranked in the top 25 at some point in the season in 2020, but not simultaneously. 2019, they were ranked simultaneously throughout much of those that year. They were both ranked. In fact, at one point in the year, they were both ranked in the top 15. But then I started thinking, all right, we really have... I mean, we have lots of teams we care about. We care about women's soccer, and we care about the Redbirds, and we used to care about 901 FC, and there's lots of teams. But we got three main franchises here. So has there been a time when Memphis basketball has been good, Memphis football has been good, and the Grizzlies have been good? And the answer to that, really, is no. You can tell me if you count 2019, and I will hear the argument that 2019 is in fact more exciting than right now, because there, in 2019, Memphis football ranked, Memphis basketball ranked simultaneously in the top 25, and when the last rankings came out for football that season, the 2019-2020 season, the Grizzlies were in the midst of it was Ja's rookie year. The Grizzlies were in the midst of what would become a 7-game winning streak, and they lost in the play-in. But there has never been a season where the Grizzlies and Tigers are ranked simultaneously in the top 25 in a season that became a playoff season for the two Tiger teams ranked in the top 25 in a season that was simultaneously a playoff season for the Grizzlies. That has never happened, because before 2019, you either had Memphis football was bad or Memphis basketball was bad, whatever. It was the Tubby era where you weren't ranked, or it was the end of the Josh era where you weren't ranked. It was maybe before that, you had years when the Grizzlies, not many, honestly. Grizzlies have mostly been in the playoffs. But there has never been a year where you had the Grizzlies making the playoffs and simultaneously the Tigers and the Grizzlies both in the top 25. And so it seemed to me to stop and to be appreciative of that. Now, I don't begin to think that means like this is the best time ever in Memphis sports. In fact, I was thinking about that, Jeffrey. What is the best time ever in your lifetime in Memphis sports?
So I was trying to go back and see. I know I was setting aside the rankings because I was
just literally, because this is totally different. Like an NCAA tournament run or a Grizzlies playoff spring or even like the Cotton Bowl season, game day. Like I have to be telling you, if I have to tell you that this is a nice moment, you know it's not a moment that compares, of course not, to any of those moments that when the whole town is picked up and carried along, it's like the Mississippi River current whipping the town along on a broad torrent of emotion. Like it's a totally different experience. And so I would ask you, what are the best, what would we put up there would be in the argument for best times in the history of Memphis sports?
So I think a little underrated one is kind of the 2004-05. That's when the Grizzlies had their first playoff runs and they started to be good, and so the games were a little bit more fun to go to. The Tigers...
I'm not even talking about Now I'm not talking about overlap. I'm talking about literally the best moments. Like you could just say, yeah, "Oh, best moments have been when the Tigers were going to the Final Four."
Yeah, 2008, 2011, I think was an awesome time. 2013 was
11. Was 11?
11's the first playoff run.
And then which was the NBA Finals run?
The Western Conference Finals was 13.
13.
I would also argue 15 was fun for the Grizzlies.
Now some, and I think you would say. Is 19 the Cotton Bowl year?
19 is the Cotton Bowl.
19 is the Cotton Bowl year. So I think, like, lots of people out there who are been here longer than me, because I got here in 96, they'd say 72, 73.
Yep.
Right? And they'd say 85.
Yep.
Like those two Final Fours. Right?
Yep.
And then some people might point to, man, those Showboat years were great or something like that. Right? But really, those are the two that I missed that.
And I just have no context for USFL.
And I can't. I believe you that 72, 73, and 85, maybe those were the best times ever. But I can't compare. So just since I've been here, I would say the best times have been the Calipari Final Four year, right? That whole era.
Yeah, that four-year run.
But I'm not putting them in order. But I'm just going to name them first. That Calipari. Then I think I'm going to break up the Grit Grind Grizzlies playoff runs. But I think you're right. There was the first playoff year in 2011. That was unbelievable. And then the year
13.
Which was the year they lost in double overtime to
that's
the
11. To the
that's
Thunder.
11.
To the Thunder.
Yeah. And then 13 was the year that they beat them.
Correct.
And they also beat the Clippers. Came back from two down to beat the Clippers.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll put 2011 in there. We'll put 2013 in there. We'll put 2008 in there. If we're just going to take individual years, right? 2008 in there. I'm going to put 2019 in there because the game day and the Cotton Bowl. Right?
2019 has to be in there.
Aren't those, in fact, the four best? If you can argue, if you want to say 2008, you can argue that 2007, 6, and whatever were also great. But isn't that the apex of Memphis sports? Those 4 years?
I think that's right. I would push back a little. You know how we talked about all summer of, is this the most anticipated Tiger football season? And it was like, projection-wise.
I never bought that.
Opportunity-wise.
Right.
But when D'Angelo said he was coming back for his senior year.
No.
That 04, and they started Ole Miss. They beat Ole Miss. Like, that was a pretty anticipated
year. I actually was going to bring up. Well, not even that. It's the D'Angelo era is underappreciated for how great it was.
Completely agree.
It is crazy to think, but that New Orleans Bowl is what I, after these four that I mentioned, if I was going to say who gets honorable mention, it's that New Orleans Bowl. And then was it the year after that, then he was coming back?
Right.
Or is that, that was insane. But some of it is just, it's just this feeling that you're, and there we were all in New Orleans. It was Memphis takeover of New Orleans. It was,
well, some of this is
just a hell of a lot of fun.
But some of this is the landscape of the sport. Like, when I tell people you don't understand how big of a deal it was for Memphis to make the New Orleans Bowl, there's a natural inclination to roll your eyes.
Yes, but
you don't understand. Like, it was hard for them to make bowl games.
Yes,
there were fewer bowl games, and
now, it was becoming easier, which is one of the reasons they did make it. But still, it was. All right. Well, let me ask you this: how would you rank those four? 2011, 2013, 2008. How do you even rank the 2008 Final Four, that era, the Calipari era versus the Grit Grind era?
Well, there's also...
How do you rank those two?
Well, it's kind of also what you and John were talking about last week. It's not just that it was a Final Four run and a run to the title game. It was the fact of, like, who they were beating and who they were curb stomping. They're curb stomping Michigan State. They're curb stomping Texas. They're absolutely clowning UCLA at the Final Four. Like, part of that was the experience.
Okay, but let me ask you this. In terms of... And I think this is the answer to this is individual, really. It's what went more.
Well, I mean, first thought was, it's 2011. It's because I'm a senior in college. I'm out in California, and everybody's like, what the hell's Memphis? And I'm like, you don't understand. Right. Like, this is
The answer to this will be individual. It will be what it meant to you, right? So for some of you, it's not even close. 2008 was the biggest. And for some of you, it's not even close. 2011 or 13 was the biggest, right? I do wonder, they're very different experiences simply because one is on the road and one is at home.
Yep.
Right? And so I would vaguely give the small tilt, the edge to the ones at home, you know, to this unfolding in Memphis, Tennessee. And which year would the river rise? The river was pouring over its banks in 2011 or 2013. It was Memphis in May.
It was the day Miramichi died.
It was just insane.
I think that's 11.
And the whole town. But then again, like being in San Antonio for a, when you are in a place, there is this bonding experience with everyone who was there in San Antonio. Yeah. And it's, so I'm not going to pretend to rank those two against each other. It is interesting that these Grizzlies we have not mentioned in the best ever, right? In the best ever times to be a Memphis fan, we have not mentioned these Grizzlies yet. They don't crack it.
Yeah, I also...
They haven't gone deep enough, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest part of that is also with grit and grind, it's like we hadn't experienced it.
First time. It was the old first time.
And so like you're like, this is awesome. Well, now this group kind of gets held to a different standard they're also, not only have we experienced it, we also think the ceiling's higher. So the expectations is greater.
Just like going to a bowl game isn't the same.
Correct.
Just like going to a bowl game isn't the same. There's no question.
Well, and now I feel like more than ever, the NBA has clearly become such a postseason sport.
They were all magnificent times. They were all incredibly fabulous moments in Memphis sports. Now, again, where we are right now, I'm not comparing it to any of that. What it is, though, is, well, first of all, it is a nice advertisement for the University of Memphis.
Sure.
Like, I do think, like, they are the only non-Power 4 school that's in both polls, right? That is in both top 25. It is interesting. If you look up, and I looked up, Houston, Cincinnati, and UCF between them have lost 11 straight games in the Big 12. Like, now, SMU having a nice little run of it over there, right? But maybe
they picked the right league.
I do think it's worth stopping to appreciate. And then the other thing is the coaches in all three situations, who was most embattled? Like, all three have been here long enough, right, that they are criticized. Ryan is criticized. Penny is criticized. Taylor Jenkins is criticized. And they all have had a nice little run here. Like, particularly for Ryan winning that Tulane game, is very much like winning the bowl game last year, right? It was like, oh, okay, now I'll take it seriously. That was something. Every other win that you've had this year, we are willing to discount. Even in retrospect, the Florida State win, that was something. For Penny to go to Maui and to do what he did, and it is really interesting. Penny at his radio show last night was talking again about, now it's like he's, every time he talks, he opens up about what a terrible coach he's been. And this time he said, it was time for me to grow up. And what's as interesting is the 180, because when he first talked this offseason, it was in that podcast where he wasn't at all self-reflective, where he wasn't at all, this is on me. It was all like, I am being attacked unfairly. This is BS. And now I had to grow up. Which is quite something for, you know, a man of his age and accomplishments to say. And then for Taylor, like, I don't know. I don't think Taylor is as, I would say the other two have been much more criticized.
Yeah.
There's
also
a segment that's out on Taylor.
Yeah, there's a segment that is
online. It's out on anybody.
Yeah. I think the problem with this is, to me, the clear answer is Ryan, because at no point have we ever had to issue statements saying Penny will be back. And
so you think Ryan has been
been the most embattled, but the problem is baked into this question is the passion of
the fan base.
Correct.
No,
and it's
you're
the
right.
third of the
when
three.
When Ryan, what has happened there is more people have just turned off.
Correct. They've checked out.
And with Penny, because he's Penny, it all is much more.
Well, everything's just going to be more dramatic with Tyra.
Emotional, yeah. And then Penny on top of it.
Yes.
Like, he's someone who people care deeply about. And so any slight implication of that they're underachieving is interpreted as a person. But my point is that it's interesting. They've both been here. Who's been here the longest? Taylor?
Penny, right?
Penny. Penny's seven, yeah. Penny's been here the longest. Of the three? Penny's been here the longest.
Ryan takes over the bowl game of 2019, so he's the third. And I believe Penny took over in, was it 17 or 18?
They've all been here long enough that if you haven't won a championship in that period of time or really kicked it, you know, you're going to get criticism. And they all do now. But I think they've all had a nice run, and I do think it's worth the stopping appreciate. Now, it doesn't mean...
Is this the longest...
That we haven't had a firing?
Consecutive period?
I think between the three, I hadn't looked at that, but that's the other question.
So the other would, so.
Or a coaching change. I'm sure this is the longest period
so
without
Lionel
a coaching change.
Lionel takes over in 09, correct?
Who is the most recently hired of these three?
So the most recently hired is Ryan.
And that was.
That was the bowl game.
That was the start of the 2020 season.
Yes.
We haven't had a coaching change. And now
Taylor Jenkins was hired before the summer of 2019. So Mike coaches the 2019 season. Taylor was
hired
that summer.
There's no way that we have ever gone 4 years since I've gotten here in 96 without one of the teams changing coaches. There is no way.
So because the Grizzlies would not have, like, so I was trying to think. Like, Cal was here from 01?
The Grizzlies were, during that period, the Grizzlies were shuffling coaches. That was the biggest turnover in Grizzlies coaches.
So I think Tommy's last year was...
Tommy was...
2009. Then you have Larry... No, there's no way. This has to be the longest period.
And the longest period without a coaching change.
Yeah.
When's the next coaching change?
I mean, if you're betting,
who would you bet on? You'd bet on the
Grizzlies
because the NBA coaches are only last 2.5 years, basically on average or something.
But
would you? Wouldn't you?
Ryan just got another extension. What we're seeing is it's going to be really hard to get people to pony up money when you're trying to raise money for other projects.
Ryan could take another job. The other two could.
Yeah,
I mean, Penny won't, and Taylor's. You know, he's got a contract. He's not.
I still think it's just the nature of the NBA. The NBA shuffles in coaches.
Do you think 2 years from now they'll still all be the same coaches?
So December of 26.
In December of 26, will there be the same three coaches? I think the odds are probably yes.
I think the odds are probably no, but I think...
Really?
Yeah, because...
But none of them seem in trouble at all.
Right, but so either... Like, to me, the most likely to be fired is Taylor. The most likely to take another job is Ryan.
And the most likely to just retire
is Penny.
Right.
And I think if I'm power ranking that, I think the most likely, and I'm not even saying that it's, you know, 51-49,
right, yes.
But I'm just saying of what we're talking about, like, I think it's going to be really hard for coaches outside of the power structure to just move up. Like, I think what we're starting to
for
see.
Ryan,
is,
you mean for
Ryan. So what we're starting to see is...
It's funny, though. Why? Cignetti just is killing it by moving up. Just killing it by moving up.
Yeah, but, like, I think what we're
going to
see...
Deion moved up, did okay.
That's a different thing.
Yeah, that is a different
thing. And also, like, Cignetti had a... Like, Cignetti was viewed as someone who does more with less. Ryan is viewed amongst the coaching community as someone that just kind of maintains at best.
Well, it's a good time in Memphis sports. That's the larger significance. It is a good time in Memphis sports. But it's a time, very clearly, within that, Memphis football has made it to 25, but there's some disappointment. The other two, it's just the promise of what is to come, right? It's like
sure.
You're hoping, oh my God, this could be. And let's be honest, if we're asking for which team is most likely to give us a moment that we could put up with the 2008 basketball Tigers or the 2011-13 Grizzlies or the 2019 football Tigers, the team right now that is best poised to give us that kind of a moment is the Grizzlies this year,
for sure.
Like, ESPN just came out with a 25 under 25 for the best player, 25 players under the age of 25 or under in the NBA. And you know who was not on it? Any Grizzlies. You know why? They're not young anymore. They're not 25 anymore. Well, they are. It's under 25. Ja's 25. And Ja is 25, Jaren is 25, and Dez is 26. It's under 25. That must be the list. Zion's still on it because he's 24 and whatever, right? So he's still on it. But they're not 24-year-olds anymore. They're not 23-year-olds anymore. And the way they are playing and the depth of this team, the team that is best poised to give us one of those truly emotional pick-you-up-and-carry-you moments is the Memphis.
Well, it's the only team also that has perhaps, you know, I mean, it's not quite there yet, but I mean, Ja can be a top five basketball player.
Yes, it's the only top five player in their sport.
Correct.
That's absolutely true. It's also, by the way, it's not a fair fight with any team from Memphis. Like, even in the NBA, the Grizzlies are at a disadvantage. They have a harder time signing free agents. You're never going to get a signature superstar trying to come to Memphis, etc.
You're never going to have the money.
But in terms of where is it the most fair fight? It's the NBA.
Yes.
It's not at all a fair fight for Tiger football. It's becoming less and less of a fair fight for Tiger basketball as the money disparity
100%.
Grows. And it is still kind of a fair fight. Not completely, but it's still kind of a fair fight for...
There's nothing systematically that prevents the Grizzlies from being good.
Right.
There are systematic flaws.
That keeps work against the other two teams. All right. If you are, we're going to take a break. If you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union would be the place to check out. It's honestly easy to do. You can put your toe in by just like, if you're getting a new car loan or new mortgage or whatever else, or maybe your kid, like, try it that way. You'll see what I've seen is the technology is fantastic. The rates are great. The people are great. We walked into the Bartlett location. They have one in Arlington as well. But honestly, you just have to download the app. But if you're also just fed up with your financial institution because they keep changing names or it keeps like the ticky-tack fees or whatever it is, check out Leaders. They're great at what they do. They're also deeply involved in the community. I keep getting releases about the latest community endeavor that they've rolled up their sleeves and gotten involved in. But it's been great for me and for Claire, and I'd urge you to look into it if you're looking for a new financial institution. It's Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN for more information. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment, we got Chris Arrington straight up at 10 o'clock, Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. It is the Jeff Calkins Show.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 FM ESPN. We have votes coming in, Jeffrey, on the best moments. Someone says, got to be 08. That's when the Grizz and Redbirds had sellouts on the same day. There were about 30,000 people downtown. That same day as the Tigers in San Antonio. That was great. Other people, 2011, big believers in 2011. You can pick your own.
With 11 kind of, like, it's the same thinking as the 08. The downtown, whatnot. It's like 11 kind of begins a revitalization.
There was a huge downtown. Like Shane lived downtown. You know, Shane Battier lived downtown. After that run, he hid Shane Battier bobbleheads all over downtown and left clues for people to go get Shane. It was a fun time. All right, let's play Believe It or Not. Cam Spencer is going to be the next big discovery in the second round for the Grizzlies. 51 points last night. 51 points last night. 12 of 15 from three, 18 of 24 overall. Ridiculous.
I'm still just going to say no simply because positionally, I don't know where he fits in. We've seen guys have, like, I mean, Kenny Lofton had unbelievable.
Now, the question is physically, yes. Where is he going to fit in? The other problem is now is that it's getting crowded back there.
100%.
You know, pecking order. All right. God is in charge of pick sixes.
Let's see. On pick sixes I've thrown, I'm going to say 50-50.
50-50. Yeah. Okay, and we bring this up because Jameis Winston, of course, had two last night in a highly entertaining game, honestly. Threw for 497 yards and four touchdowns and two pick sixes and another interception returned 56 yards.
And at least three more that could have
just
been.
Just something else. The guy is, he is himself, that's for sure. And afterwards, this is what he said.
I am a better player, you know, but in times like this, you know, this is... It's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. Like, that's not me. Like, that's a phenomenal game. Offense, do some great things. But I messed it up.
Deliver me from pick sixes. Is God going to listen to that?
I don't know. He's must watch, though. But you don't want him as the quarterback of your team. But, like, there's something about it where he has that Favre-like instinct where it's just like, man, he throws a pick six, but he comes right back in, and he's just like,
I don't understand why he can't rein it in.
I think he's just so aggressive. Every throw he makes is so aggressive.
But why? Why can't you rein it in? You know, Josh was originally throwing. You know what I mean? Like, in the end, you can grow and you can change. Right? I don't understand why. We've seen it all over. Bryce Young's getting better, like dramatically better, right? We see quarterbacks make steps all the time, and it's not like he doesn't have the tools. Like, some quarterbacks can't make steps because they just don't have it, right?
No, he can throw. He can make, like last night, there were throws that Troy Aikman's sitting there going, whoa, like the fastball at the end zone that ends up not getting caught. Like, he has unbelievable arm talent. But it's like with unbelievable arm talent comes unbelievable belief in your arm, which is not.
That is something that anyone who has arm talent has to get over and figure out, right? Can't just. And why can't he?
I don't know, because like a lot of times when you see guys that have pick problems, like when Will Levis was going through it earlier this year, it's like he doesn't know what he's looking at. He's getting fooled. With Jameis, it's not really like, oh, he doesn't know where to go with the ball. It's that he just puts the ball in danger.
It's also sort of, it spills over in his conversation. Like, it's, he is all of that all the time. It's how he lives, it feels like, you know, like he's, so he throws the way he lives. Anyway, highly entertaining game. Denver wins.
If you'd like some stats last night, I bet on history again. This year, worst EPA based on interception. So how many points did you give to the other team? Cleveland Browns last night, number one in the league. And that includes some dreadful performances.
Bo Nix, a pedestrian, 18 of 35, 294 yards. No pick sixes.
No pick sixes. Hit the big bomb.
Yep.
I'm still not convinced.
Moving right along, D'Amico Ryans has a point. Now let's play the clip.
We stand behind Aziz and everything, you know, that came from that. Of course, he unfortunately hit on the quarterback. But it's also, it's twofold, right? I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks in this day and age, they try to take advantage of the rule where they slide late and they try to get an extra yard. And now you're a defender. A lot of onus is on the defender, right? Whether it's on the sideline or where it's on the quarterback, you don't know what a guy is thinking. You don't know if a guy's standing up and he's continuing to run. You don't know. And then you get a late slide and you're, you know, you hit the guy. Unfortunately that Trevor got hurt. We want to hope Trevor is okay, but it's also, if we're sliding, we have to get down. If we're getting out of bounds, we get out of bounds. And that rule is there to protect the quarterbacks. And we want our quarterbacks to be safe in the league. So we just have to be safe. And we're sliding, make sure we're keeping our heads down. So, and the entire thing is, you know, Aziz is the guy, but their sideline overreacts. And it turns out and turns into a melee. It wasn't our guys. It's their team overreacted, pushed our guy, dragging our guy to the sideline. So that's uncalled for on that side. We have to be better on the sidelines as well. With both teams.
Okay, so what do you think there?
So, can I hold this thought? I believe he has a point. I also think it's a straw man argument. I think in this particular...
There's also many arguments there. There are also many arguments.
Right.
There's the
reaction.
There's the basically blaming Trevor for not getting down or for the breaking the rules.
Late slides. I subscribe 100% to this.
The problem is he lost me. And Ryan Fitzpatrick basically said, listen, he understands. He said, I hate that Trevor got hurt, but listen, he actually was said, you should listen to Mike Ryan's. I think he lost me twice, though.
All right.
He lost me when he said, the late slides can be a problem, but then when he said, you got to get your head down, he came in with a forearm shiver. Like, he is taking the blame off of his guy. That was a dirty hit.
Yes.
And putting it on Trevor. To bring up the late slides, fine. And then the reaction was not an overreaction. It was the reaction as a Houston writer pointed out, who covered D'Amico Ryans when he was a player. If Matt Schaub, this had happened to Matt Schaub, he would have been in there tearing their head off. It was an appropriate reaction. It was not an overreaction. It was an appropriate reaction on the part of the Jags to go after, to protect your quarterback for the dirty hit. So I think he made a point. I think it sounded tone deaf, given everything and given the way he spun so much of it.
Yeah, I can subscribe to all that. I do think they have to. I think they've got to. I can't believe I'm saying this. I think they've got to adopt the college rule. Like, a huge part of this is quarterbacks are taking advantage of this, knowing that you can't hit them. Now, this is not what Trevor was doing, but
right.
I also believe this is true. The less quarterbacks play baseball, the less quarterbacks know how to slide. And you see so many quarterbacks now that can't slide, and they slide awkwardly.
You don't have to go in with your freaking forearm to take out his head.
I mean, in the end, that's why I'm saying, like, I believe he has a point. I do not think it applies in this case, because in this case, his guy, who has a history, this would be like defending Vontaze Burfict.
Right.
Once upon a time.
If you missed it earlier, Aziz was suspended for 3 games. On the basis of his previous incidents as well as this one. And it seems to me to be fully appropriate. A lot of intrigue tonight in the playoff rankings.
Yeah, I do believe that. Number one, I
think... What's most interesting to you?
How far does Ohio State fall? Is Tennessee in line for a home game? Does Miami at two losses stay in front of Alabama, the collection of Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina? How do they...
In terms of just who makes it or who doesn't make it, is that the most interesting thing?
I think so.
It was funny. I was having this debate yesterday about... I think we all agree that if SMU wins, there's a spot that will be open. If SMU beats Clemson this weekend, there is a spot that is open.
Yes.
Right? There's an at-large spot that is open. We might disagree if Clemson beats SMU, is there a spot still open?
Yes.
Right? I was talking to John about this, and John was making the argument, I think this was your argument yesterday, that Alabama would get in over SMU in that instance.
I would be predicting that. I'm not saying that's how I'd rank it.
Right, but you do predict it.
That's what I
think. The reason that I don't predict it is you've got a couple of forces here at play. If it were simply Alabama versus SMU, three-loss Alabama, two-loss SMU, I think Alabama wins because there's the force of the Alabama lobbying, the SEC, all of that, right? Well, but you also have to protect the championship games. SMU only becomes a two-loss team if you hold the championship game against them, right?
Correct.
And they, conference commissioners, want to protect the money grab that is conference championship games. So they say, well, it's three losses, two losses, whatever, let's put Alabama. I don't think they will elevate Alabama over a two-loss SMU.
So
you do.
Where I believe that you would protect the championship game is that Clemson got in. And I think there's a desire...
Yes, but you don't want to be punished for losing a championship game.
But I think there's where I agree with you, I think there's a desire to protect the championship games. I just don't think there's a desire to protect every championship game. I think there's a desire to protect the Big Ten championship game and to protect the SEC championship game.
That'll be quite something. So you really think they will elevate Alabama. So if Alabama...
I hope I'm wrong.
...is in position after tonight... Ahead of Miami, ahead of Ole Miss, they're basically, in your view, a lock to get in.
Lock is strong. I will say this. They started the weekend as plus money, so an underdog to get in. By the end of yesterday, they were
favored. It was interesting. It was interesting how the money
And again, that's
works.
A betting market. That's a prediction. That's not...
It is funny, though. If you look back at our presidential election, the betting market was more accurate than the polls.
Yes. Consistently.
So then, all right. So I'm, and the other things that are of particular interest to you are where Tennessee falls and where Ohio State falls. Do you think Ohio State will be ahead of Tennessee or Tennessee will be ahead of Ohio State?
All right, so let's do the math. Tennessee's best wins are, so Tennessee has a win over Alabama, which is not as good as a win. I wonder if this is actually going to come down to this weekend. If Penn State wins the Big Ten, does that give them cover to put Ohio State ahead?
Because
they will have beaten the Big Ten champion.
It is interesting. That's not true. Of the championship games, which one have implications for who gets in and who gets out? Clearly the ACC.
ACC, the Big 12.
And clearly the Big 12.
And the Mountain West.
And clearly the Big, it's pretty good. Three of them. That's pretty good.
Well, I don't think there's a single game this weekend that is more than a touchdown spread. Boise -4, Tulane -6. I think even the CUSA championship. So Jacksonville State's -4.5. Boise's -4, Tulane's -6, Arizona State's -2, Miami of Ohio 2.5, Texas 2.5, can't wait for that. Lafayette is 5.5, Oregon 3.5, SMU 2.5. Everything's under a touchdown.
We have a busy second hour. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and then we have Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. Just to clean up a couple other things that we have not mentioned, let's see. FAU hires Zach Kittley. 33 from Texas Tech
coordinator.
The
right.
coordinator.
FIU, correct? No.
FAU. That's FAU.
Okay.
That's FAU. And Oklahoma hires Ben Arbuckle,
yep,
who is the Washington State OC, to be the new OC. Obviously, the last swing of the bat didn't work so well at Oklahoma. Do you have any thought on either of those?
So their message boards here is, if Washington State's downward trajectory at the end of the year, there's people that believe that's because he was going to take the Oklahoma job and that was getting out. I think it's interesting that you're seeing schools like FAU. It feels like they're going to try to do what Memphis did once upon a time.
Hit the young coach and up and rising
and
star.
Hope that it works. And I don't think that's a bad formula.
All right, Chris Harrington coming up next. Before then, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, this can be a tricky time. All the more reason to call Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. The phone number is 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. A lot of reasons to call Josh. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time. And that just goes to the confidence that he has, that you'll be confident that he's doing a spectacular job of marketing your home. But in addition to everything else, you have the peace of mind that comes from knowing that if Josh can't find you a buyer, he will buy your house himself for full market value. That's what persuaded Corey. Now, Corey ended up selling his house. But what persuaded him was this, you know, knowing that if Josh couldn't find him a buyer, Corey could sell his house to Josh himself for a full market value. Phone number, once again, 901-461-8147. It's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, or you can check him out on the web at joshhasthebuyers.com. That's joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.